Today is the 13th day of January. Hi, welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. I'm Brian. And here we are. Feeling pretty moved in, right? Still kind of settling. And there'll be lots of kind of transitional things happening along the way on this journey through a year. As far as the rhythm goes and kind of how this all feels and works, we're getting pretty well moved in for the year. And so now we can kind of exhale and start to relax and understand where we're going, what we're doing, and why. And I'm starting to feel that way about the new year myself. Year 21, the year where the word is repair. I look forward to seeing how that unfolds. These are always challenging things. I am grateful to be here with you as we gather and take the next step forward, which obviously leads us to where we left off. And that is back in the book of Genesis, as we're kind of transitioning now into the grandchildren's era of this emerging family, the family of Abraham that really encompasses the Bible. So there's been Abraham, there's been Isaac, or with Jacob and Esau, and beginning to follow that path. Genesis chapters 28 and 29 today. So Isaac summoned Jacob, blessed him, and gave him these orders. Don't marry a Canaanite woman. Get up and go to Paddan Aram, to the household of Bethuel, your mother's father. And once there, marry one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. God Almighty will bless you, make you fertile, and give you many descendants, so that you will become a large group of peoples. He will give you and your descendants Abraham's blessing, so that you will own the land in which you are now immigrants, the land God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob off, and he traveled to Paddan Aram, to Laban, son of Bethuel the Aramean, and brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. Esau understood that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him to Paddan Aram to marry a woman from there. He recognized that when Isaac blessed Jacob, he had ordered him, "Don't marry a Canaanite woman," and that Jacob had listened to his father and mother and gone to Paddan Aram. Esau realized that his father Isaac considered Canaanite women unacceptable. So, he went to Ishmael and married Mahalat, daughter of Abraham's son Ishmael, and sister of Nebaioth, in addition to his other wives. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. He reached a certain place and spent the night there. When the sun had set, he took one of the stones at the place and put it near his head. Then he lay down there. He dreamed and saw a raised staircase, its foundation on earth and its top touching the sky, and God's messengers were ascending and descending on it. Suddenly the Lord was standing on it and saying, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will become like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west, east, north, and south. Every family of earth will be blessed because of you and your descendants. I am with you now. I will protect you everywhere you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done everything that I have promised you." When Jacob woke up from his sleep, he thought to himself, "The Lord is definitely in this place, but I didn't know it." He was terrified and thought, "This sacred place is awesome. It's none other than God's house and the entrance to heaven." After Jacob got up early in the morning, he took the stone that he had put near his head, set it up as a sacred pillar, and poured oil on top of it. He named that sacred place Bethel, though Luz was the city's original name. Jacob made a solemn promise. If God is with me and protects me on this trip I'm taking, and gives me bread to eat and clothes to wear, and I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. This stone that I've set up as a sacred pillar will be God's house, and of everything you give me, I will give a tenth back to you. Jacob got to his feet and set out for the land of the Easterners. He saw a well in the field in front of him, near which three flocks of sheep were lying down. That well was their source for water, because the flocks drank from that well. A huge stone covered the well's opening. When all of the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone from the well's opening, water the sheep, and return the stone to its place at the well's opening. Jacob said to them, "Where are you from, my brothers?" They said, "We're from Haran." Then he said to them, "Do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson?" They said, "We know him." He said to them, "Is he well?" They said, "He's fine. In fact, this is his daughter Rachel now coming with the flock." He said to them, "It's now only the middle of the day. It's not time yet to gather the animals. Water the flock and then go. Put them out to pasture." They said to him, "We can't until all the herds are gathered, and then we roll the stone away from the well's opening and water the flock." While he was still talking to them, Rachel came with her father's flock, since she was its shepherd. When Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his uncle, and the flock of Laban, Jacob came up, rolled the stone from the well's opening, and watered the flock of his uncle Laban. Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud. Jacob told Rachel that he was related to her father, and that he was Rebekah's son. She then ran to tell her father. When Laban heard about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him. Laban embraced him, kissed him, and invited him into his house, where Jacob recounted to Laban everything that had happened. Laban said to him, "Yes, you are my flesh and blood." After Jacob had stayed with Laban for a month, Laban said to Jacob, "You shouldn't have to work for free just because you are my relative. Tell me what you would like to be paid." Now Laban had two daughters. The older was named Leah and the younger Rachel. Leah had delicate eyes, but Rachel had a beautiful figure and was good looking. Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will work for you for 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." Laban said, "I'd rather give her to you than another man. Stay with me." Jacob worked for Rachel for 7 years, but it seemed like a few days because he loved her. Jacob said to Laban, "The time has come. Give me my wife so that I may sleep with her." So Laban invited all the people of that place and prepared a banquet. However, in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he slept with her. Laban had given his servant Zilpah to his daughter Leah as her servant. In the morning, there she was, Leah. Jacob said to Laban, "What have you done to me? Didn't I work for you to have Rachel? Why did you betray me?" Laban said, "Where we live, we don't give the younger woman before the oldest. Complete the celebratory week with this woman. Then I will give you this other woman too for your work, if you work for me 7 more years. So that is what Jacob did. He completed the celebratory week with this woman, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Laban had given his servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her servant. Jacob slept with Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. He worked for Laban 7 more years. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb. But Rachel was unable to have children. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben because she said, The Lord saw my harsh treatment, and now my husband will love me." She became pregnant again and gave birth to a son. She said, "The Lord heard that I was unloved, so he gave me this son too," and she named him Simeon. She became pregnant again and gave birth to a son. She said, "Now this time my husband will embrace me, since I have given birth to three sons for him." So she named him Levi. She became pregnant again and gave birth to a son. She said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing children. Matthew 9, 18 through 38. While Jesus was speaking to them, a ruler came and knelt in front of him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and place your hand on her and she'll live." So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with them. Then a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the hem of his clothes. She thought, "If only I touch his robe, I'll be healed." When Jesus turned and saw her, he said, "Be encouraged, daughter. Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that time on. When Jesus went into the ruler's house, he saw the flute players and the distressed crowd. He said, "Go away, because the little girl isn't dead, but is asleep." But they laughed at him. After he had sent the crowd away, Jesus went in and touched her hand, and the little girl rose up. News about this spread throughout that whole region. As Jesus departed, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Show us mercy, Son of David." When he came into the house, the blind men approached him. Jesus said to them, "Do you believe I can do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then Jesus touched their eyes and said, "It will happen for you just as you have believed." Their eyes were opened. Then Jesus sternly warned them, "Make sure nobody knows about this." But they went out and spread the word about him throughout that whole region. As they were leaving, people brought to him a man who was demon-possessed and unable to speak. When Jesus had thrown out the demon, the man who couldn't speak began to talk. The crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He throws out demons with the authority of the ruler of demons." Jesus traveled among all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, announcing the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were troubled and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The size of the harvest is bigger than you can imagine, but there are few workers. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers for his harvest." Psalm 11. For the music leader of David. I have taken refuge in the Lord. So how can you say to me, "Flee to the hills like a bird," because the wicked have already bent their bows. They've already strung their arrows. They are ready to secretly shoot those whose heart is right. When the very bottom of things falls out, what can a righteous person possibly accomplish? But the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord. His throne is in heaven. His eyes sea. His vision examines all of humanity. The Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. His very being hates anyone who loves violence. God will rain fiery coals and sulfur on the wicked. Their cups will be filled with nothing but a scorching hot wind, because the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. Those whose heart is right will see God's face. Proverbs 3:11-12. Don't reject the instruction of the Lord, my son. Don't despise his correction. The Lord loves those he corrects, just like a father who treats his son with favor. Okay, so Jacob has to go on the run because Esau, his brother, is going to kill him because of the betrayal and what he's stolen, because of the anger. And so he's sent away, and he stops in this city called Luz, later named Bethel. And that's a very famous city in the Bible. We'll see it lots of times. He stops there to sleep, and God appears to him. So God had appeared to his grandfather, Abraham. And then God had appeared to Isaac, Abraham's son, Jacob's father. And now God reveals himself to Jacob in a vision of a stairway to heaven. And Jacob ends up saying some pretty famous words. Surely the Lord was in this place. I wasn't even aware of it. And that's when the place is renamed Bethel. That means house of God. And there are still ruins of Bethel today. And he commits himself and his ways to God. These are known as the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we hear them throughout the rest of the Bible. But these three generations committed themselves to God and the promise of God for the land of promise. And then in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus attends a funeral that is like a bit premature. So there's a synagogue official's little daughter who has died or believed to be dead. Jesus is approached. Please, my daughter has died. Will you please come? And so Jesus goes. A crowd of people have assembled. They are wailing and mourning. And this is already underway. Jesus invites everybody to kind of get out of the way. And they're like crying out in mourning. And he's like, she's not dead. She's only asleep. And their mourning turns to laughing. Actually, not like joy, but their mourning turns to mockery because they know she's dead. But Jesus reaches for her hand. She stands up. Everyone is obviously, I mean, what would you do, right? Like, what would I do? Everybody is amazed, and that is an understatement. Jesus stepped into an impossible situation, saw it as not an impossible situation, revealed it as not an impossible situation, which invites us to consider impossible situations. And probably all have faced these, and maybe are facing them, and just have to wonder, you know, does our mourning and grief turn to laughter or mockery? Like, can it turn to joy, or does it turn to mockery? It's not dead, it's only asleep. If we hear that, what happens? Like, when we're thinking about that thing that we think is dead, Does that bring hope, or does that bring resentment and mockery? And that kind of reveals the posture of our heart. It's not like a condemning thing or a judgmental thing. It's just a revealing thing. is maybe we find out in the end. And I hope we do. Like, I mean, I can put myself in this, some of the, in this situation, I could put myself in this situation and ask the same question. Like, when I think about that, does mockery, like, no, this is dead. Or is there any kind of hope? Can in any way I find myself in a position like Jacob? And maybe you can find yourself in a position like Jacob to say, wow, the Lord was in this place and I wasn't even aware of it. And maybe that's what we carry with us today. Is where does our heart go when we think of the impossible? When the thing that is dead. And we don't really know what to do with that. If we're told maybe it's not dead, maybe it's asleep, do we turn to mockery? Or even in silence, do we hope and maybe hope that God is in this place and we don't know it? In this place, in that thing. As the Holy Spirit come, certainly, you know, we can set ourselves up with these kind of false hopes only to create even greater pain and grief and bitterness. But we reach for you. You are the one that we seek. Not so you will do something for us, but so that you will bring life to us in places that have died. Only you can do that. And only you we reach for. And so come, Holy Spirit, and wake up the dead. We ask in your name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are home base. They are where to get connected and stay connected. So indeed, be connected while you're checking out things and getting oriented. Check out the community section. This is where you will find the prayer wall. The prayer wall is a resource here only for Daily Audio Bible, just here in our midst, place that we can at least always know we can reach out. We can always know no matter what happens and no matter when it happens. We can reach out, share our story, and allow our brothers and sisters to come around us and pray for us. Share our victories, and also come and pray for others, knowing that, man, we've gone through things and we've gotten through. And it is encouraging to encourage those who are going through things. That has been one of the distinctive, beautiful things about this community over the years. So be aware that that is there and that you will never be alone. You always have a place to reach out. Also there, you'll find all the different links to the social media channels that we participate in, whether that be Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or TikTok or X. You can follow along. Stay connected. We're always trying to be behind the scenes and keep the story of community going and send out encouragements for the journey that we are on. And so stay connected that way. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right hand corner or the mailing address. It's P.O. Box 1996. Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good night. Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Patty from Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm calling with a prayer request for my best friend, Cindy Harley. She has multiple health issues and challenges, and the current one that's really getting her is buildup of fluid around her lungs, which the doctors cannot figure out why it is happening. I ask you to keep her in your prayers. Keep the doctors in your prayers. Give them the knowledge and wisdom to help figure this problem out. Thank you, and I love you all. Have a good day.
Good afternoon. Good evening. This is Winsome Warrior. I've only ever called before in utter distress, desperate for prayer. And I could only think about how, gosh, this isn't even going to be heard by anybody for 3 or 4 days, possibly more. And I just wanted to encourage everybody. What Brian and Jill and the Harden family have done here is such an utter blessing. If you need immediate prayer, that prayer wall is like the place to be. And if you've ever had it on your heart to give to the Daily Audio Bible, I just want to encourage you to follow that prompting, because I have, and I just know that the word is getting out there. And to listen today to Brian and Jill and whatever this is, talk about just an orientation and the fact that prisoners are receiving this Bible app on these iPads. At first I was like, prisoners are getting iPads? But then I know about mobile device management and how you can limit the apps. And I think it's such a beautiful thing that they're able to have access to this, because the people making those decisions could put anything on those devices. And to have the Daily Audio Bible, what a blessing. I just want to say, keep listening, you guys. You got this, and I love you. Have a great day.
I would like to offer prayer for Sean in UK, who's asking prayer for his finances. For Janice in New Zealand, who has to have 12 weeks of chemo and needs help daily. And for Candace in Oregon, who's praying to be free from a toxic attitude and wants to restore relationships. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift these individuals up to you, Father God. I pray that you restore Sean's finances, that you give him wisdom, God, and grace to make the changes that are necessary, God. I pray that he will seek you for wisdom and, Lord God, for instruction as how to handle or restore his finances. And I pray, God, for Janice in New Zealand, Lord God, who has to have chemo for 12 weeks. Lord, she's asked that she needs daily help, Lord God, and I pray that you send people her way, Father God, with compassion and patience, and that will help her throughout this whole process, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And then I pray for Candace, Heavenly Father God in Oregon, who's praying for freedom from a toxic attitude or behavior, and she's praying, she wants to restore relationships. Lord, I just thank you, God, for showing her, and I pray that you will give her the word, your words, that she can use, God, to cleanse her mind and her attitude, God, and bring restoration and healing to the relationships of the past. Father, I thank you for blessing all three of these individuals, God, and for showing them and guiding them in the way that they ought to go. Give them grace, Father, to make the changes that needs, and please help Janice, Lord God. Thank you for helping her. Thank you for sending someone to help her, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good evening. This is Running Desperately to Jesus, also known as Staying Desperately Connected to Jesus. Reaching out to Sherry. Sherry, I heard the pain in your voice and the anguish and everything that comes along when a mother has lost contact with her son. Sherry, the devil, he moves back and forth, but he's on his job 24/7. And when he cannot find one way to get to us, to make us lose our faith, then he goes a different way. And normally that is with our children, who are the most precious ones that we have. And so, Sherry, just remember that around the world, you may not know us personally, but we're all standing in the gap for you. We're lifting you up. You did the thing that Satan just basically hated the most, was you reached out to the Christian family and didn't turn away and start asking other people what you should do. So, Sherry, remember your family is standing in the gap for you. We're asking God to put a hedge of protection around your son. We're asking that God bring him back to you, but first bring him back to him. Your son, Sherry, right now is lost, but we have a parent right now that is going to be crying out daily for her son and for the protection. And so, Sherry, right now, I lift you up. I ask God that he continue to give you strength, that you continue to reach out to those that you know are able to pray you through. And that's your daily audio Bible family. Running desperately to Jesus, also known as staying desperately connected to Jesus.